This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد all praise due to Allah and peace be upon the messenger of Allah محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers and sisters, once again I welcome every single one of you here to UMA and to online viewers. I welcome every single one of you to be with us here every single Thursday from 7:50 p.m. to about 8:30 p.m. just talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, and what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left behind. And it's important for us to keep that in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to be the greatest nation, the nation of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, you are the best nation to be sent out to all people from all previous nations. And last week we're talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam the first revelation. The first revelation was where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was in the cave of Hira. And that revelation just revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the first words that came down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the first words that the ease of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam he. And then we said a few months after that, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the second revelation. And the second revelation is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to get up and warn. And that's where we stopped at last week, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir. All the ones that's covered with blankets, get up and warn. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and he told his wife Khadija back then, Ya Khadija, la rahata ba'd al-yam. Oh Khadija, there is no longer rest after this day. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is divided before prophecy and after prophecy. And then within the prophecy was only 23 years. The prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within 23 years is divided to two, the Mecca phase and the Medina phase. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 13 years in Mecca, then followed by 10 years in Medina. The Mecca phase is divided into two phases. The first phase that we covered last week, and today inshallah we'll talk about the second phase. In Mecca, the first phase and the first part of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in secret. Call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discreetly and secretly. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so for 3 years. The first 3 years of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to get up and warn, was indiscreet, was secretly, only to the close people to him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed like this for 3 years. So the first 3 years of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in what? In secret. And to the close people to him, the close friends, and those who are close to those who are close to him. Do you trust him? Speak to him. You don't trust him? Don't talk to him. Why? We mentioned why. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to consolidate, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam needed to strengthen his power base of his people. It's not logic for him to come out, even if he's on the haqq and he's the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah is supported by Allah. It's not right for him just to go out in the open and start calling to Allah when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't have any backing. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's strategy was for him to establish himself, for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ground himself. And the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grounded and established himself is by having people close to him, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then later on was commanded by Allah to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open. So the first 3 years of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in secret. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out in the open and start calling to Allah azza wa jal. During the first 3 years of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, calling in secret, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to gain a lot of support, especially from the weak and the poor, because the other ones who appeal to the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, he's there to give them justice, to give them their rights, to give them their honor, to give them their respect, especially when they are being mistreated, when they are unjustly being dealt with, when they are the poor and the needy, when they are considered to be marginalized in society. So usually that type of people, that group of people, are the first people to appeal to the da'wah of the prophets and messengers. And that's something that you find all along with all the prophets and messengers, that the poor, the needy, the slaves, those who are being oppressed, are the first and the foremost who are always appealing to the da'wah of the prophets and messengers. They are the ones that you'll find more interested in the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers. So during the first phase of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is that phase calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret, which only went for 3 years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed to gather around him up to 100 companions from males and females. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed to have about 100 people around him supporting him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and predominantly they were from the poor and the needy. And we mentioned last week that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the first headquarters in Islam, which was called Darul Arqam ibn al-Arqam, the house of Arqam, the son of Arqam. That was the first headquarters that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had established. During that phase, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the obligatory ritual of the salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the obligation of praying to Allah azza wa jal. Now, at the very beginning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam the obligatory act of the salah, it was only 2 rak'at in the morning and 2 rak'at in the evening, according to the scholars, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam the 5 daily prayers, which are 2 fajr, 4 dhuhr, 4 asr, 3 maghrib, and 4 isha. That took place when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on a night journey and the ascension, during the Isra' wal Mi'raj, in which we'll talk about later on. But before the Isra' and Mi'raj, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ordered the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam and the followers of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam the 5 daily prayers, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to pray 2 rak'at in the morning, 2 rak'at in the evening. 2 rak'at in the morning, 2 rak'at in the evening, until that time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the 5 daily prayers. Now, the first 3 years, as we mentioned, and the first phase of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in secret, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam to go out in the open and start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. You finished the first phase, which is calling in secret. Now need to start facing the reality. And the reality is you need to start calling out in the open. And subhanAllah, in the first 3 years, obviously you could take it as more of a training process for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It would have been probably a lot harder for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in the very beginning of his da'wah for him to go out in the open. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have faced with a lot of opposition. And those who had embraced Islam at that time, if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out in the open, maybe they would have not embraced Islam because of the fear that they'll see from the people around them. So there was a lot of wisdom and hikmah. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to start his da'wah discreetly and secretly. Up until that moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 years after the first revelation, where Allah commands the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, fasda' bima tu'mar. O Muhammad, call in the open what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out in the public, in the open, and start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was 3 years after the prophecy. Start calling people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open. No need for you to hide your da'wah anymore. There's no need for you to continue calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret. Now you could go out in the public, you could go out in the open, and you've got enough support of people around you who are with you and involved with you to continue standing by you. Right now you need to go out in the open. So the first verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to start calling out in the open was فَاسْضَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Oh Muhammad, start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open and do not worry about what the disbelievers and the pagans are doing. Your worry is the pleasure of Allah. Your concern is the pleasure of Allah. Your worry and concern is to call to Allah. Right now, start calling in the open. Don't hold back anymore. In the first 3 years, we told you to hold back. For you to pick yourself up, find your feet, learn and train, get yourself some supporters. But now you're over that. Now you need to start moving forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he had commanded him to start calling out in the open and start inviting people to the deen of Allah azza wa jal publicly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with another command, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and start with your close kins. Start calling people to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the open. Start inviting people to the deen of Allah azza wa jal publicly. Do not hide away or shy away anymore. And start with who? With your close kins. With your close cousins. With the close people to you. With your uncles. With your aunties. With your daughters. With your sons. With your wife. Start with them. And subhanallah, it's by default when someone is out there preaching and you find the closest people to him are not convinced of what he's preaching, that turns you away. When I'm coming up to you saying to you, believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure you have a good family, and then you look at me and you see my family is very bad, that's not convincing. When I tell you, make sure you wear very nice clothes, and you look at my clothes are very dirty, I'm not convincing. I'm not, take care of your health and I've got very bad health, I'm not convincing. You need to act upon what you are preaching and calling. You need to act upon what you are preaching and calling people for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Oh Muhammad, start inviting your close kins, your cousins, your uncles, your aunties, the close people to you, start calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then get outside that circle. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon his uncles and aunties. He called them all, come together. And some narrations say there were up to 50 of them. And during that time, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had about 7 or 8 uncles alive. He had about 7 or 8 uncles alive. And he had about 5 or 6 aunties. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a big family. So he invited them all to a gathering. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahmaduhu wa asta'inu, I thank him and I praise him and I depend on him. Wa uminu bihi, and I believe in him. Wa atawakkalu alayhi, and I also depend on him. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. And I say that there's no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a partner. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and I am the messenger of Allah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened his speech, and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam started with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he made the testification, which is what? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. There's no God except Allah, and I am the Prophet, the messenger of Allah. Now obviously that struck his uncles and his kins. They're not used to this thing of there's no God except one God. No, there's one God, but he's associated with another 360 gods. That's what the Arabs used to believe in. They used to believe in one God. See, that's what the Arabs used to believe. They used to believe in one God, but they used to partner up, associate 360 other gods with that one God. That's the belief of the Arabs. One God, but associated with 360 other gods. And that's what we know as shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need a partner. Allah Azza wa Jal is the most supreme, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most significant. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no God except Allah, and I am the messenger of Allah. That's obviously something new to his uncles. That's something new to his kins. Now, some of his close relatives, including his own wife, his daughters, his two sons, and the people around them, they were already Muslims. We already spoken about that last week. Amongst the first of those who had embraced Islam were Khadija, his wife, his 4 daughters, his 2 sons, and Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who were both in the care of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and other people who were related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment, his uncles were in some shock. The rumors within those 3 years, the first 3 years of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling to Allah azza wa jalla, there were some rumors leaking out and going and spreading around the people of Quraysh about someone calling to a new religion. People are getting together. There is some rebels who are coming together, speaking ill of our gods and speaking ill of our religion and the religion of our forefathers. But they didn't have any concrete or solid information or intelligence until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out in the open, started to call his people, and he started with his kins. Now, obviously, amongst the people who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a hard time with, his uncle, Abu Lahab. Abu Jahl wasn't his uncle. Abu Lahab was his uncle. Abu Lahab was the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, amongst those who supported the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and supported the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam immensely, his other uncle, Abu Talib. And Abu Talib did die as a non-Muslim. And that's another story that we'll talk about later on. But Abu Lahab, who was from amongst the uncles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was from amongst those who opposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and resisted the da'wah of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he didn't find much response from them. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them again on the mountain of Safa. The Prophet Muhammad alaihi salatu wasallam called them again on the mountain of Safa, and he gathered the people of Quraysh once again. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to call upon the people of Quraysh, come, come, come. And the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam had a very good, respectful, honest reputation. If he says, people trust him. He's not pulling someone's leg. He's not fabricating anything. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known for his honesty and seriousness. If he says something, people will listen. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about something, people will believe. Then now it's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's not someone that stages anything or lies, or he is someone that's known for his dishonesty or deception. So the first thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with his family, but didn't find much reception. Didn't find much reception from them. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and invited the people of Quraysh, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the mountain of Safa, which is not far away from the Kaaba. And usually the people of Quraysh are always surrounding the Kaaba, so it's more of the city center of Mecca. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the mountain of Safa and he started to call upon the people of Quraysh. And he said, O Bani Fihr, O Bani Uday, O Fulan, O Fulan. So Quraysh is the top or the forefather of the rest of the tribes in Quraysh. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to call each branch, each sub-tribe of the main tribe of Quraysh, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to call them by name. Tribe 1, tribe 2, tribe 3, tribe 4, Fulan, sir and sir and sir and sir. People are listening and hearing the voice of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after they've turned around and they've realized it's the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, they know how honest and serious the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam is, so they responded. And those that couldn't attend, send someone on their behalf to attend. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to say, O people of Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, if I told you right now that there's an enemy behind this mountain ready to invade you and ready to fight against you, would you believe me? If I told you right now that there's an enemy preparing to come and invade you, there's an enemy right now that's willing to come and attack, do you believe me? Everyone turned around and said, we've never experienced any lies on you. Of course we're going to believe you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if that's the case, then I am the messenger of Allah and I'm here to tell you, save yourselves from the hellfire. I am the messenger of Allah and I'm here to tell you, save yourselves from the hellfire, because by Allah, I can't do anything for you in the hereafter if you can't save yourself from the hellfire. At that moment, the first person to oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the first person to refute the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam was his uncle, Abu Lahab. He said, Tabban lak, damn you, alihada jama'atana. Is this why you gathered us here? You made us all leave our businesses and homes to come around and tell us that there's another God beside the gods that we worship, and there's something called hellfire. Subhanallah, this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the Prophet, the messenger of Allah. The great messenger, the greatest human being to ever tread this earth. And look at the resistance and the opposition the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. So who are you when someone looks at you and tells you, you know what, go back where you came from. You're Muslim. You don't belong here. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look what he faced. Look what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to mention tribe by tribe. All the children of Ka'b, save yourself from the hellfire. All the children of Qusay, save yourself from the hellfire. All the children of Abd Manaf, save yourself from the hellfire. All the children of Abd Shams, save yourself from the hellfire. All the children of Bani Hashim, save yourself from the hellfire. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to mention names. And started to mention the names of his uncle. Or Abbas, my uncle, you save yourself from the hellfire. Or my auntie Safiya, you save yourself from the hellfire. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to mention his own children. And then the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Fatima, his own daughter. Oh Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, save yourself from the hellfire. By Allah, I can't do anything for you in the hereafter unless you save yourself from the hellfire. There's no connection here. He knows him, or he knows her, and this connection here, and he's the son of this person, son of that. When you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, you and your actions, and that's it. Your closest people to you run away from you. Ya ma yafirru mar'u min akhihi wa ummihi wa abihi wa sahibatihi wa banihi. As Allah makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem, the day that your own brother run away from you, and sister run away from you, and mother run away from you, and father run away from you, and daughter run away from you, your own son run away from you, and spouse run away from you, and friend that you hanged out with your entire life run away from you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're not in the open. I am the messenger of Allah with a mission to save people from the hellfire by you saying that there's no God except Allah, that has no partners, has no associates, and Muhammad is the Prophet, the messenger of Allah. Beside that, I can't do anything for you. And now the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the public. It's on the front page. It's not like the first 3 years where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept it closed, kept it in secret. And the rumors that the people of Quraysh were hearing in the past, that there is a new group of people are talking about a new religion, now it's been confirmed, it's been verified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam now to continue calling to Allah azza wa jalla in the open. Now it's like face to face. Now it's face to face. Now obviously in the past, he heard, she heard, we're not 100%, but now it's 100%. Obviously the people of Quraysh, they're not going to sit still. Especially that the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposes and challenges their mindset. The da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposes and challenges their mindset. Opposes what and challenges what? See, don't look at it from your side. The way you're looking at it right now is, what's wrong? Like, why did these people oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's only saying to them, worship Allah and follow him as the Prophet, the messenger of Allah. That wasn't the big problem. I assure you that wasn't the big problem. The big problem is what it comes with. To the people of Quraysh, they had a big problem that right now the white and black are all together on the same level. That's a big problem to them. Arab, non-Arab means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What means to Allah is piety. That's something to them. No, we are Arabs, we are more superior. We are the people of Quraysh, we are above everyone. Islam came to demolish that. Negate that. Islam says we're not going to accept that. So to the people of Quraysh, especially the chiefs and the leaders of Quraysh, they had an issue with this call. They have an issue with accepting a religion that says that you as an Arab and non-Arab, you are all equal. You are both equal in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. They had an issue where now you've got a religion that says man and woman are both equal. They had an issue with that. Their custom back then is that if a father or a man or a husband has been informed that his wife just gave birth to a girl, they can bury her alive. To them, men and women are not equal. Islam says, Islam came, and now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes with this da'wah, comes with this advocacy, or comes with this religion that says man and woman are equal. They had an issue with that. Then Islam says that you've got some wealth and people don't have wealth, you need to start sharing some of that wealth with the poor. They had a big issue with that. They had an issue with it. They had an issue with being justice. They had an issue with oppression. They had issues with that. So the big issue wasn't just to believe in Allah and to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The big issue was their selfishness, their injustice, their oppression. They didn't want to let go of that. And Islam comes, and Islam emerged, and Islam came to teach these people and discipline them, but they refused. So much so that those that were at the forefront fighting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and opposing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they'll sit down in their own gatherings and they say, we know that Muhammad gets a revelation from Allah. We know he's on the right path. We know his honesty, but we're not going to follow him. We're not going to follow him. Why should it be him? We're not going to follow him. Why should we accept this call that says that Arabs and non-Arabs are equal? Men and women are equal. The poor and the rich are equal. The rich must give back to the poor. We're not going to accept this call. We're not going to give up our lavish and comfortable life. We're not going to give it up. That's their issue. That's why the da'wah of the prophets and messengers was a lot more appealing to the poor and the needy and those who are oppressed than the rich and those who are oppressors. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started with his da'wah, started to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly now. Before it was in discreet, before it was in secret, but now it's in the public. Where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to him and talking to him and talking to him and going to this gathering, going to that gathering and going to this person's house and going to that person's house and speaking to people face to face, saying to them, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah. And I want you to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anni rasulullah wa anna Muhammad rasulullah, that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. So now the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the open. Because it's in the open, there's resistance, there's opposition. And part of that resistance and opposition is to go all the way. From who? From both sides, in particular the people of Quraysh. Now it's all the way with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he's gone all the way in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the people of Quraysh went also all the way in stopping the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in destroying or trying to destroy the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in pushing back the da'wah of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam. And obviously back then, when you have the law of the jungle, which is the law of the jungle that was customary back then, what was their ways of preventing the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Torture, persecution, defamation, lies, killing, whipping, lashing, incarceration, all sorts of torture and torments that the people of Quraysh had exercised and implemented. So once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposition started. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the sorts of preventing the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started. And it started with verbal. Verbally in which way? Making mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Innaka la majnoon. Oh Muhammad, you're crazy. You're crazy, you've lost the plot. You know, that's how it is. You know, when people don't have something good to sell, they start attacking their opponents. So for example, if I've got a good product to sell, I don't need to put down other people. But when my opponent's product is better than mine and I know that I can't meet the standards, what do? I start putting them down. So obviously the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's da'wah is by far a lot more stronger and convincing than the da'wah of the people of Quraysh. So they couldn't convince other people. So what was the best form and the best plan of action for them to push back the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prevent the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was to put down the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Put down the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam by making mockery of him, by saying that he is a majnoon. And these are all words and these are all statements and rhetorics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran Kareem that the people of Quraysh had mentioned against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijr, they say, oh, the one that you say that you are receiving a revelation from the heavens, you're a majnoon, you're crazy. Don't listen to him, this guy's crazy. Straight away, put him down. Despise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dishonor the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Put down the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وعجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم وقال الكافرون هذا ساحر كذاب. They said about Muhammad, he's a sahir, magician, كذاب, he's a liar, don't listen to him. This guy is a magician. Don't be fooled, don't listen to him, he's a magician. He's using magic to gain following and claims that he receives a revelation from Allah. Don't listen to him. وَإِنْ يَكَادُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. They continue to say that Muhammad is a majnoon. They say that Muhammad is a kahin, he's a fortune teller. They say that Muhammad is a liar. They say Muhammad is crazy. They say Muhammad had lost the plot. All the words, just to put him down. So people deter away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ. Oh Muhammad, we know, it's getting to you sometimes. And you know when someone says, you're crazy, you're stupid, you're a liar, you're this, you're that. At the end of the day, it gets to you, we're human beings. We're not solid bricks. Especially when you're trying to do the right thing. Especially when, you know those who are liars and those who are deceivers, when someone says about them, you're a liar and deceiver, they get upset. And they are liars and deceivers and they know it. He knows he's a liar and he knows he's a deceiver. When you say to him, you're a liar and deceiver, it gets to him. Can you imagine when someone is honest? When someone is truthful? When someone is the prophet and the messenger of Allah? When someone is upright and righteous? When people say about him, crazy, fortune teller, magician, liar, deceiver? It gets to him. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get to him. And Allah says, we know that your chest gets tight, which means it's getting to you, what people are saying to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ. Don't worry about what they're saying. Continue glorifying Allah, worshipping Allah, and pray to Allah, and prostrate to Allah, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran Kareem to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعْرَضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Turn away from them. Don't worry about what they say. And this should be the character and the quality of the da'i. When you call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you believe in what you call in and you are doing it in the right way, don't worry about what other people say about you. Don't worry when people say and look at you and say, oh, you're a Muslim, aren't you? You're a terrorist. You're a migrant. Go back where you came from. You're a criminal. You're an extremist. That's what we get sometimes. But what you're getting right now in this day and age, maybe here or overseas, is nowhere near what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told in his face, you're a liar. You're a magician, you're a deceiver. You're a compulsive liar. We get from time to time, Arab, Muslim, terrorist, extremist. You know, Islamophobia. We get that from time to time, but reflect upon the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen and empower the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the revelation of the Quran al-Kareem. In particular, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to reveal upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stories of the past, in particular stories of prophets and messengers and what they had encountered, what they had faced and experienced from the own people. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the story of Nuh and how Nuh called to Allah for 950 years and only 82, 83 people followed him. And what they used to say about Nuh and the mockery they used to make mockery of Nuh and the way they used to look down at Nuh. And then Allah reveals to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the story of Musa, what Musa went through. And Allah reveals other story of Salih, a story of Hud, a story of this prophet. What does that do to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It comforts him. It's like when you're going through a hard time and then someone turns around and says, well, I just experienced the same thing last week. Oh, it's not just me. I thought it was only me. And then someone else turns around and says, I experienced the same thing. Okay. So it's not only me. It comforts you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revelations from the Quran al-Kareem and stories of the past, in particular stories of prophets and messengers. That's why, my brothers and my sisters, most of the stories of the prophets and messengers in the Quran al-Kareem were revealed during the Mecca period. Most stories that were revealed about the prophets and messengers, they were revealed during the Mecca period to comfort the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To inspire the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to encourage the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to empower the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Oh Muhammad, you're not the only one that's going through this. You're not the only one that is encountering this. Before you, prophets and messengers encountered the same thing. They experienced the same thing. They went through the same thing. So it's not only you. They all go through it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, will continue to reveal to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revelations and stories of the past to empower the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to remind the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is a human being at the end of the day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to remind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to empower the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to strengthen the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And they'll always come back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with mockeries, make mockery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Yeah, are you saying that we only worship on God? Are you saying that we're going to die after this, and after this we're going to go to hell and fire? Are you saying this? And are you telling us that someone's speaking to you from the heavens? Are you saying this? Make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the extent that they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of them had a handful of dust, a handful of sand. And then he released it to the ground and said, "Oh Muhammad, are you trying to convince us that after our death, we're going to come back alive? So after we die and we turn into dust, we're going to come back alive again? What kind of a religion is that?" So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam a revelation in which Allah says, the way Allah created you the first time, Allah will bring you the second time. You find that to be hard? Where did you come from the first time? You didn't exist from the first time. Allah Azza wa Jalla got you the first time. He will bring you the second time. So don't look at it how you're going to come back from the dust and the ashes. Look at it from the very beginning. Where did you come from? Subhanallah. You know, when someone has grudges and hatred towards someone and they just want to put them down, they don't think rationally anymore. And they'll continue to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make mockery of the religion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and find any gap. They find any way for them to put down the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a lot of stories in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention. So the very beginning of countering what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with was verbal. Accusations, mockery, demonizing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, defaming the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, trying to make an accusation against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, and they tried all sorts of mockery, all sorts of accusations, all sorts of claims against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and subhanallah, didn't work. So they stepped it up. They tried verbally, didn't work. And subhanAllah, it's human beings' nature. When you try and put someone down, you know, there's an opposition between you and someone. And I'm not saying that's a right thing. That's a wrong thing. It's illegal. But when you speak to someone, the other one is speaking back, what do you resort to? You resort to violence. Start torturing and punishing. SubhanAllah, human beings' mindset. So at the beginning, they tried to counter the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam verbally by making mockery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, putting him down, accusations, trying to turn things against the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, trying to counter what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, trying to put it down, this and that. It didn't work. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting stronger. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting popular. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting more support, and he's getting more followers. So that he resorted to torture. Torturing the people who follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, petrifying the people around the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam, scaring off others from following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if you follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're going to torture you the way we torture Muhammad and his followers. And that's where it becomes very interesting to know how far the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba went in preserving Islam and defending Islam. All sorts of tortures that we'll talk about next week, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in particular his companions, went through. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and some of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had a strong backbone of family members, like the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from a reputable, he comes from an honorable, respectful family. And the Arabs, as I mentioned, they were very tribal. It's not about the principle. It's not, that's what you call the law of the jungle. The law of the jungle, it's not about the principle. It's not about what's right and what's wrong. The law of the jungle means the stronger will destroy the weak one. That's it. That's the law of the jungle. The law of the jungle is I'm strong, you are weak, doesn't matter. I have control. So during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the Arabs had good qualities here and there, but their primary law was the law of the jungle. I'm from this family. I have this backing. I have these people behind me. I'm going to do what I need to do. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comes from an honorable family. He comes from the family that's ruling and heading Mecca. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was feared. And other people from Quraysh, they thought twice in harming the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though the vast majority of the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not embrace Islam and they opposed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you know what? At the end of the day, he's from our tribe. You're not going to touch him. They used to stick together. That's the mindset they used to have. Now, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fortunate that he comes from an honorable, respectful, big tribe and strong tribe. But what about those companions who came from no tribe? What about those companions who had no backbone? What about those companions who had no wealth to protect them, or family to protect them, or allies to protect them? They paid the price. They are the ones who paid the price, in which we'll talk about next week, about the brave and courageous stories of great companions who stood firm, who stood their grounds for the sake of Allah and the Messenger of Allah. After they were tortured, after they were tormented, after they were punished, after they were persecuted, after they were killed, they continued to stay strong in their belief and not compromising their faith. And subhanAllah, these are great lessons for every single Muslim to listen to. Every single Muslim and Muslimah to know of. That at the end of the day, yes, we love Islam. We love to practice Islam. We take pride in our Islam. And we do not shy away from Islam. But from time to time, we'll face resistance. From time to time, we'll face opposition. From time to time, you might face mockery or demonization or persecution or injustice. From time to time, you'll face that. Regardless, I'm not just talking about in a Western country, even a Muslim country. But subhanAllah, reflect upon the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, what they faced. What did they experience? And this is something inshaAllah we'll talk about next week. We'll talk about next week about the persecution and torture that was exercised and that was implemented on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It was executed on them. And what they went through, and they never compromised their religion. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that strength and the empowerment for us to continue moving forward and to stay strong in our religion. Next week is going to be amazing when we talk about the story of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and what they faced and the persecution and torture that some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum experienced for them to compromise their religion, for them to give up their religion, but they never compromised their religion and gave up their religion because they believed in this religion, they lived for it and they died for it. Subhanakallah, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I wanna be in Jannah, Jannah, yeah. Jannah, Jannah. Every Muslim.